arrive here at a critical moment.
Hello, I am Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a very special bonus episode. We do not have a guest. We are not talking Criterias. Instead, we are talking the 2021 Emmy nominations, which just came out today. And it's very exciting for all things TV. This is like a big moment for us. We want to get on and chat about it real quick.
Yes, it's very, very exciting. This field of nominees is wild.
Wild how? What do you
it's
mean?
It's wild. Well, first of all, I feel like they took the note with, hey, let's like not just pick white people.
Uh-huh. Strong note.
And they're like, you know what? Yes, you're right. We shouldn't. Let's really get some people. Some of the choices, I'm like, okay, guys, you didn't have to pick them just because they're black. But other ones, I'm so like, we love to see it, and I'm pretty excited about this. Like, the first thing I did was text my coworker and be like, I can't wait to like fill out like my Emmy predictions and bet on it.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Like, it definitely took notes from the Oscars So White. From the Golden Globes, basically just like the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, just straight up getting canceled. Like, mm-hmm. Who knows what's happening there? And I think you're right. They took kind of like the resounding societal note of recognize more black people, please. That would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And more people of color in general. And it's made a really, really wild list. I think you're right. It's awesome. As most major award shows go, there's still some snubs. There's still some mm-hmm. head scratchers. Like, looking at you, Emily in Paris. We'll get to that later, but Jesus.
I honestly just, that's a huge W2F, and we will be discussing that. So if you love Emily in Paris, you're going to hate us after this.
Yeah. Yeah. At least. Yeah. A little bit. But Brandi, we got to start first with, so for those that don't know, the Emmys are actually split up into two separate ceremonies. So the list that you're all looking at home or referencing, those are the primetime Emmys, but there's also the Creative Arts Emmys, which is where a lot of the below the line, behind the scenes, crew, technical awards happen, a lot of the unscripted awards as well for our industry. And Brandi, there are some congratulations in order because one of the projects you worked very closely on is nominated for several Emmys.
Yes, everyone. I'm so excited. I worked on an amazing documentary for the History Channel called Tulsa Burning. It was about the 1921 race massacre, and we got nominated for outstanding writing on a documentary, sound editing, and original score by Branford Marsalis.
Hell yeah.
You guys should definitely check it out. It's on you know, like if you have cable, like go to History. You can find that on demand.
Do it now.
Or on the app. Yeah, do it now. It's really good.
So we're going to jump around some of these categories, most of the major categories for the primetime Emmys. Fair note, we have done very little prep. We have done absolutely no research. So when we make statements like this person has been nominated in this category before, or this marks X number for this person, things like that, they may be wrong. So just episode wide disclaimer, this has not been fact checked, and we don't do rapid turnaround episodes. So in an effort to get this out quickly, we will not be fact checking. So just kind of, it's a conversation between friends about the Emmys.
Welcome.
Welcome. Exactly. So Brandi, let's start with our shared industry. We were just talking about some unscripted stuff. Let's start with some of the unscripted categories. Outstanding competition program. If it were up to us, the challenge would be.
Why isn't the challenge? You know,
it gets
on
no
this?
Respect.
Has it ever been? It gets no respect. It's such a good show. Let me tell you what's always on it, and I will never understand. And I think it's because like CBS is like big TV, like big pharma, and that's The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Sorry for all my Amazing Race fans out there. I've never actually really watched the show. I did have a couple of friends that really wanted to be on it and like try it out, but like, I don't get it. Like the other shows in this category, I totally get. Nailed It, obviously, great show. RuPaul's Drag Race, great show. Top Chef should be winning, in my opinion.
Probably, that's my pick. Yep.
And you know, The Voice, I would even go with, but like, really, The Amazing Race, really?
I know. Although I will say, Top Chef is also a stalwart in this category, so I understand why some of these kind of long performing shows end up where they do. Real quick, I do believe Top Chef. I haven't seen all of these shows, and again, blanket, we haven't seen all of these shows in every category, so we're basing this on what we've seen. But this season of Top Chef We touched on it earlier with our Criteria episode, and some guests have talked about it as well. But this Portland season is just wrapped. That's the one that's up for this Emmy. It was shot in during COVID, you can tell, but not in a bad way. It just it added extra weight and depth, and it was a really, really strong season. I hope it wins. That's my pick.
Yeah, that's I would go. Well, you know what? I would go between Top Chef and also Nailed It, just because I feel like Nailed It, you get like, it's just, it's so entertaining. And yeah. So like, and I just feel like being super entertaining and hilarious counts for something. And that's what I love with Nailed It. Top Chef, obviously I love like just the expertise and just how good everyone was, so good this season. Although like, I mean, and we can talk about it at a later time, but like, yikes, Gabe, yikes.
Yikes, Gabe. And you know what, Dawn, if you, I love you to death. You were my pick. Just the time
get
management.
Get it on the plate.
The time management. Okay. But we don't want to spoil and moving on. So more, competition. So outstanding host for a reality or competition program. We have the Fab Five, the Queer Eye hosts, Bobby Caramo, Tan Antony, and Jonathan Van Ness. Nicole Byer from Nailed It. We have the Shark Tank whole crew, Tom Padma and Gail from Top Chef, and Rue from RuPaul's Drag Race. Stacked category. Honestly, I'm kind of fine with anyone in this category. I think they're all great. I think they're all deserving, and I'll be rooting for my Top Chef folks, but happy with anyone really.
I'm rooting for Nicole all the way on this. Her Instagram today, she just posted that she got, like, she posted the release of her being nominated, and the caption was just, hi. And I was like, yes, girl, yes. So I'm all for Nicole, but also totally fine with whoever wins in this. These are all, everyone's great.
Exactly. Outstanding unstructured reality program, which means docuseries, right? This is kind of like the Follow Doc sort of deal. We have Becoming, we have Below Deck, we have Indian Matchmaking, we have RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked, and we have Selling Sunset. I'm clear out for you, Brandy. I haven't seen any of these shows, so this is a blind spot category for me. Have you seen any of these? What do you?
I've seen Below Deck. I've seen Indian Matchmaking. I've seen Selling Sunset. My question is, where are my housewives? And you know what? I will give them a pass this year because the COVID seasons of Housewives, like, were it was tough. It was it was tough. But I also feel like maybe Potomac was out before, like Potomac was the last season to air before the whole, before COVID all kind of hit. And it was an amazing season. So like, I feel like Housewives never gets any love, and I would love to see it on here. I don't really have a choice for what should win. I guess Indian Matchmaking, because that was the concept that I had pitched. And then it became a show, and I was like, well, I guess I was on to something.
Let's go. Indian Matchmaking. I like it. I like it. One more reality category here. Outstanding structured reality program. So this is basically best format outside of the competition realm. So Antiques Roadshow, always on this list. Property Brothers Forever Home, never seen it. Queer Eye, always on this list. This is going to win. It always does, and it deservedly
really
so.
Really good.
Running Wild with Bear Grylls, been around forever. Shark Tank, been around forever. A little bit of a stale category here. I think... we pull for the Fab Five. We pull for the Queer Eye guys here.
Yeah. Although Shark Tank is, when you're talking format, like it's where you go, you know?
This next one is near and dear to my heart because I used to work for shows like this and watch them all the time still. Outstanding variety talk series. We have Conan, last season ever.
Yeah.
Which that alone might give them the nod.
I know. That's who I got to go with.
Yeah.
I mean, continue saying the category, the folks, but.
Yeah, so Conan, we have The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, we have Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the reigning champ for the last, like, I don't know, I've lost count. I think ever since The Daily Show stopped winning, John Oliver started winning. And then The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I'm upset that I understand why Amber Ruffin's not on this list. It's still too new, but damn it, Seth Meyers needs to be on this list. Late Night with Seth Meyers is, I like it better than Jimmy Kimmel. I like him better than Stephen Colbert.
Well, you know what I need on this show, this list, is Deezu Samero.
Hell yeah. Yes.
Like, where are they? It's like, I understand why Z-Way's not on here. Hopefully she's going to be on next year. But like...
And she might also be in like Variety Sketch Series, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, right. But like Deezu Samero, like, come on. I feel like they were robbed. They should be on this list. But of everyone on this list, I'm voting for Conan. Like, that's who I'm pulling for. That's who I'm putting on my my predictions list.
Same. I think this is like the Lifetime Achievement Award. I don't think he's won in this category, but Lifetime Achievement Award is going to Conan in this category for sure. This next category is strange because there's only two entries.
And is this, my question is this new? So this next category is Outstanding Variety Sketch Series. Has this been a category before?
No. So this was split from Outstanding Sketch. It used to be Outstanding Sketch Variety Talk or Sketch or Variety Talk. Like that was all together. Okay. So SNL was always going up against the talk shows pretty much.
Okay.
Which also meant there was not a lot of room for incredible sketch shows like a Black Lady sketch show, which is nominated next to SNL.
This makes me so happy. It's like, I'm sad because SNL was like super, super strong this season, but like a Black Lady sketch show is great. And I love that like it's all black, like Black Writers Room, Black cast, Black ladies are doing it. And like, I'm just so happy that they got recognized because it really is a fantastic show. If you haven't seen it, it's on HBO. It's been on for 2 seasons. I think there's probably like maybe 12 episodes. I feel like it's short seasons, but they're just really smart, really funny, so like weird and irreverent. And I just love that they're like, guess what? White guys want to come and be like super weird with their shit. We're going to do it too. Yeah. And we're going to do it better. And like,
it's an excellent show. It's an absolute excellent show. If it weren't for COVID, I have a strong feeling that I think you should leave Tim Robinson's sketch show would be in here, but it totally missed the window. Mm-hmm. Season one was too soon, and season two just came out and just missed the window by like, I don't know, 3 weeks, something like that. So next year, look for these two again. Plus, I think you should leave. And that might actually have a chance of unseating SNL. I think SNL wins this year. I agree with everything you said about Black Lady sketch show. I love seeing it here. I just think that the COVID, again, another like COVID feat of a season with SNL is just going to be too much to ignore. And they had some really strong episodes as well.
They did. Oh my God, Bo and Yang, the Titanic, never forget.
Oh my God.
Or no, well, the iceberg.
The iceberg that sunk the Titanic and gets an unfair rap, God damn it. We'll get to him later. That's a very exciting moment in these in these nominations. These next two we can blow through pretty quickly. The first one, Outstanding Variety Special Live. This is where the Grammys go, the Oscars go, the Super Bowl halftime show, Stephen Colbert's live election night, and inauguration night special. But this next one is interesting because we're dealing with some major category fraud that we'll get to. Something should be in this next category, Outstanding Variety Special pre-recorded, right? We have Bo Burnham Inside. We have David Byrne's American Utopia. We have 8 minutes, 46 seconds, Dave Chappelle's special. We have Friends, the reunion. And then we have a West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote. Stacked category. A lot of great programming here. I think Bo Burnham. Recency bias a little bit. And also just like, it was a feat.
It's so good.
But 8 minutes, 46 seconds, Dave Chappelle. That was a fucking moment. And in that, what a special. What an absolute special. I haven't seen David Byrne's American Utopia, but here that's a special piece of programming as well. But the thing is, Brandy, what should actually be in this category that shows up later and is pissing a lot of people off?
Hamilton should be in this category. Because guess what Hamilton isn't? A TV show. Okay? Guess what Hamilton isn't? A limited series. Okay? Yeah, it's like 3 hours long, but that doesn't make you a series.
No, no. And also, and I could see like, okay, maybe it's trying to masquerade as a limited series or TV movie. But there's a whole TV movie category. It's not in there either. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Extreme category fraud, in my opinion. And I think maybe it also, like, this thing was recorded, like, at least 3-4 years ago. When was that original cast? When did they stop? Like, this was years old production. And if not for the pandemic, and a pretty astute move by Disney Plus to throw it on the service, but this was supposed to be a theater experience. It shouldn't have been on our screens at home. I don't believe so. Yeah. Hamilton taking up some space. It's
again, a lot of space.
Great piece of art, but yet this is why they have the Tonys, friends.
Yeah,
this is why they have the Tonys.
And guess what? It already won all the Tonys.
All of
and
them.
Let me just get this out there. I love Hamilton. In fact, my end of year review on Spotify last year was all Hamilton. Spotify thinks I only listen to Hamilton. Because I did listen to it like all last summer, but like this is it's encroaching right now.
Yes, it's absolutely encroaching.
All right. Well, do you want to let's get into some acting, right?
Yeah, let's get into some major categories here. We'll start with some big guns.
Outstanding drama actor. I mean, I love everybody in this category, except I will say, so this is...
So list them off, Brandy. Who do we got here?
Yeah, so listing off, we got Sterling K. Brown.
This
I mean,
is us.
Come on.
Mainstay.
Come on. Give the man his, give the man his award. This is us. Jonathan Majors, Lovecraft Country. Jonathan Majors was so good in Lovecraft Country. This is tough for me. I actually don't know who I'm going to pick. Josh O'Connor, The Crown. I did not watch The Crown. Dan, you did watch The Crown.
Yes,
who was
a.k.a.
he?
Prince Charles.
Prince Charles. I was like, he must be like...
Did a great job because you fucking can't stand the guy by the end of the season. So really just solid acting.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Reggie Jean?
Reggae Jean Page?
Oh, sorry, everyone. Please, you can yell at me later. From Bridgerton, which I only saw a few episodes of Bridgerton. This was one of the ones that I was like, guys, I don't know if we have to nominate people just because they're black. But I mean, you know, like I said, these are hot takes.
Yeah.
So maybe he's really great. Billy Porter, Pose, I think is amazing.
Love that.
And Matthew Rhys, Perry Mason. I didn't watch Perry Mason, but it feels like something that, like, if I'm on a flight to California by myself, I might watch it if it's on the plane.
Yeah. I watched it. I liked it. It was, I think, kind of underrated. Well, not really underrated. Properly rated, I would say. It was good. It would kind of had like a, you know, anti-hero, complicated, drunk guy gets his shit together to right a wrong vibes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, you kind of get it, but it was really well done. And his role was very, very good, I will say. So who are you pulling for in this category?
In this, I'm pulling for either Sterling K. Brown or Jonathan Majors. I feel like Jonathan Majors did such an amazing job in Lovecraft Country. Sterling K. Brown, I know that he has maybe won before, but I feel like this season, like, Randall Pearson, like, went through it. I mean, okay, let's back that up.
Right.
The Pearsons go through it every season.
All the time.
But I feel like they finally addressed some stuff in This Is Us this season that, like, was kind of like the big elephant in the room, a.k.a. you can't just, like, have a black kid raised by white parents and never talk about race.
Right.
And they finally addressed it, and I thought that they did a really good job. And I really feel like Sterling K. Brown, like, really brought, like, he hit it out of the park this season. So it's... It's difficult for me. And I've never seen Pose, but I love Billy Porter. So also I won't be mad.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I also keep an eye out for Josh O'Connor. This last season of The Crown, the Diana season with, you know, their marriage, Charles and Diana. Really, really good stuff. One of their strongest seasons, I think. So I think The Crown might sneak in some wins here and there.
Okay.
I don't think it's sweeping anything, but watch out for The Crown. It's in a lot. Well, speaking of outstanding actress in a drama. Mm-hmm. We have Uzo Aduba in Treatment, the reboot of In Treatment, and then back to back, Olivia Colman, Emma Corrin, The Crown, both. So that's the Queen
and
that's
Diana?
Princess Diana. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's big. Elizabeth Moss in Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. We get it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over Handmaid's Tale, and just I mean,
it's too real.
It's just it's so much. MJ Rodriguez from Pose, very exciting nominee.
Yes. She is the first trans woman actress nominee, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so, so cool. So point for her. And then Jurnee Smollett in Lovecraft Country. Love her as well. She did a great job on that show. I love her and pretty much anything she's in. I think, I don't know. I'd be...
Anyone could win here.
Anyone could win.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not see Elizabeth Moss win, I think.
Yeah.
It is Olivia Colman's last season as a Crown, but she's going to win so many awards for so many roles.
Yeah.
Emma Corrin, she's got another season. You know, let's go MJ.
I say MJ.
Let's go MJ. Let's go. Absolutely. All right. Outstanding comedy actor. Anthony Anderson in Black-ish, Michael Douglas in Kaminsky Method, William H. Macy in Shameless, Jason Sudeikis in Ted Lasso, and Kenan Thompson in Kenan, which was a surprising nomination, I got
to
say.
Jason Sudeikis.
Has to.
Come on.
Clear it out. Clear out the lane. It's Jason. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, everyone else is great.
He's in good company, but like, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. This one, easy. Moving on. Ted Lasso. Watch it if you haven't. We talk about it constantly. Outstanding actress in a comedy. Adi Bryant in Trill. Kaley Cuoco in The Flight Attendant. Allison Janney in Mom. Tracy Ellis Ross in Black-ish. And Jean Smart in Hacks. Again, I think... Clear it out.
Jean Smart,
baby.
Jean Smart.
These two back-to-back are the easiest calls, I think. And I love Adi Bryant. Kaley Cuoco, Flight Attendant. Again, a little bit of category fraud, maybe? Flight Attendant? Is it a comedy? I don't know.
Or is it,
it's an hour-long show, so, you know. It's one of those. Okay. But yeah, Gene Smart and Hacks.
Mm-hmm. Gene Smart.
Hands down. Yeah. Has to be. All right. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series. Paul Bettany from WandaVision. Hugh Grant in The Undoing. Ewan McGregor in Halston. Haven't seen it. And then here we go. Lin-Manuel Miranda and Leslie Odom Jr. in Hamilton.
Get both of them out of here. But like, if Leslie Odom Jr. won, like, I wouldn't be sad.
but get out of here, Hugh Grant, for The Undoing. Yeah. I'm over that show.
Yeah. Paul Bettany. I'd love Paul Bettany.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. First Marvel Emmy. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Ewan McGregor and Halston. I hear that is something special though. So I'm reserving judgment on that one until I check that out, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it stands here, I would like Paul Bettany, but I'm into watching Halston and seeing if I change my mind.
Yeah. And now the categories are getting real stacked. Outstanding lead actress in a limited series. Here we go.
Wow.
Michaela Cole, I May Destroy You. Cynthia Erivo, Genius, Aretha. Elizabeth Olsen, WandaVision. Anya Taylor-Joy, The Queen's Gambit. And then Kate Winslet, bringing up the rear with Mare of Easttown. I don't know what to do.
Who can win this? Oh my God. I want Michaela Cole so bad. But also like, but everybody's so good.
Elizabeth Olsen, fucking Brada. Anya Taylor-Joy, Brada. I didn't see Genius with Aretha, the Aretha Franklin Genius.
It's really good. And she really did a great job.
Cynthia Erivo can do no wrong. Like, I don't have to watch it to know she was incredible. Yeah. And then Kate Winslet, I mean, God, what do you do here?
This is an example of like, you guys got it so right.
Yes, that's right.
These five women are the best.
Yeah.
I gotta go with Michaela Cole just because she was such an incredible actress in I May Destroy You. Mm-hmm. She wrote I May Destroy You. Like it was so her thing.
Yeah.
That like I want her to just get all of the awards for it.
I think though, because it was so her thing, I think that show has a better chance of winning in the main category. And I think this is where they honor Kate Winslet. For Mare of Easttown. Mare of Easttown, I think, we'll get to the limited series, but like a lot of these same shows are in that category as well. I think this is where Kate gets the award, and then Michaela Cole gets for whether it's writing or the show itself.
But honestly, the girl from Queen's Gambit was so good too.
She was fucking good too.
This is really tough.
Stacked.
And Elizabeth Olsen was so good.
I know. Like every time we talk about WandaVision, it's like, how good is Elizabeth Olsen? She totally makes the whole show. Gosh, tough one. Yeah. Real tough one. This will be an exciting couple minutes of TV. Yeah. Okay, speaking of stacked, now the categories balloon a little bit and we're left wondering, like, since when are they letting 8 nominees into things like this? This is wild, but okay. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Giancarlo Esposito from The Mandalorian. O.T. Fegbenly, I may have said that wrong. I apologize. The Handmaid's Tale.
I don't know how to say it.
John Lithgow and Perry Mason. Tobias Menzies in The Crown. That is Prince Philip. Max Minghella, The Handmaid's Tale. Chris Sullivan, This Is Us. That's Toby. Toby. Bradley Whitford, The Handmaid's Tale. And Michael K. Williams, Lovecraft Country. Ooh, boy. I'm
only familiar with Toby from This Is Us and Michael K. Williams from Lovecraft Country, and they both did amazing jobs.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm at a little bit of I don't know if I can really judge this category, but just based on the names, like, I mean, John Lithgow.
I feel like I remember him in Perry Mason, but not specifically. And for that reason, I don't think it was a strong enough role, especially for his caliber. I don't know. I think in this one, the Handmaid's Tale folks, 3 of them in one category, I think they kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah.
John Lithgow was good, but kind of forgettable for me. Giancarlo Esposito was great in The Mandalorian, but not in it a ton, if I remember correctly, this season, a little bit more than last season, but I probably got to root for Michael K. Williams here or Chris Sullivan.
Yeah, I love both of them.
It was great. Toby's a bright spot on that show. It always brings it, and I'm so happy for him. But again, keep an eye on those Crown folks. Tobias Menzies might actually take this one because he's really good as Prince Philip.
Okay.
All right. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series. Gillian Anderson, The Crown. Helena Bonham Carter, The Crown. Emerald Fennell, The Crown. And then here we go. Madeline Brewer, The Handmaid's Tale. Anne Dowd, The Handmaid's Tale. Yvonne Strahovski, The Handmaid's Tale. Samira Wiley, The Handmaid's Tale. And then Anjanue Ellis. Did I pronounce that right?
I think so. That's who I'm going for. She better win. She was really good, even though I feel like I've heard great things about Gillian Anderson in The Crown.
Yeah, she played Margaret Thatcher and fucking rocked it. Absolutely rocked it. I think of the Crown folks, I would pick her over Helena Bonham Carter. Again, haven't seen the recent Handmaid's Tale, and I think they all kind of cancel each other out. It's fun seeing Emerald Fennell's name as an actress.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yeah. So Emerald Fennell wrote and directed Promising Young Woman, was a big, you know, part of the Oscar conversation, but she also played Camilla Parker Bowles on The Crown. Yeah, I don't know. And this one's kind of a toss up for me.
I'm going with Anjanue Ellis. I thought she was really, really, really great.
Yeah, she was. I would say that's like a should win. Mm-hmm. And then will win probably Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. All right. So guest actor and actress in a drama series. These are obviously two separate categories, but and also there's only five people in each versus like eight in the other categories.
Who's making these rules? Who knows?
But like, who knows? I don't know.
It is what it is.
Don Cheadle, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Charles Dance, The Crown, Timothy Oliphant, The Mandalorian, Courtney B. Vance, Lovecraft Country, Carl Weathers, The Mandalorian, Alexis Bledel, Handmaid's Tale, Claire Foy, The Crown, McKenna Grace, The Handmaid's Tale, Sophia Okonedo, Ratchet, and Felicia Rashad, This Is Us. I mean, everybody seems great.
Yeah. I mean, Don Cheadle was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier for 3.5 seconds.
Okay.
So I love you, Don Cheadle, but no. Charles Dance in The Crown had a pretty good episode, I think. Or was that season? I don't know. All the seasons are running together for me, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it. For me, it's Timothy Oliphant in The Mandalorian.
I love him.
He played a version of his Justified character. He basically played Raylan Givens, but in the Star Wars universe. And I just freaking loved it. So I'm going with him.
All right, give it to. Well, I thought Courtney B. Vance was great in Lovecraft Country, but like I love Timothy Oliphant, so like I'm team him.
Done.
We love to see it.
Exactly.
And then I feel like the only thing I know from the actresses is Felicia Rashad in This Is Us, and I thought she did really great, but like she had some very problematic comments about Bill Cosby's innocence.
Yeah.
Alleged innocence, and it just really soured me on her. And I don't know if she needs to win any awards.
Yeah. That's another one. Like Claire Foy from The Crown, she was in this for like 2.5 seconds. I guess that's why it's guest actress. This one, it's pulling a name out of hat for me as well. Felicia Rashad, she's great in This Is Us, but problematic choice to make at this point. So,
yeah. Okay. So outstanding supporting actor and actress in a comedy series. So now we're back to 1.5 million people nominated in each category.
So let's start with actor here.
Yeah, so actor, we have Carl Clemens Hopkins from Hacks, Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, Brendan Hunt from Ted Lasso, Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso, Paul Reiser from The Kominsky Method, Jeremy Swift from Ted Lasso, Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live, and Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live. Kenan Thompson getting it done.
Double nomination.
Double nomination.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I loved Ted Lasso. Love, love, love. All of these guys were great, but again, I think they're going to kind of split the Ted Lasso pool here. Mm-hmm. Hacks was wonderful, as was Carl Clemens Hopkins in that show. Mm-hmm. Never seen The Kominsky Method, probably never will.
Yeah.
I love Kenan, but the only choice here is Bowen Yang for Saturday Night Live.
Only choice.
The only choice.
Bowen Yang. Run that man his Emmy.
Yes. Give it to him now. Give it to him yesterday. I think I saw this. I may be making this up, but I think I saw it on the SNL Instagram, so I believe it to be true. The first featured player to be nominated for an Emmy. Normally it goes to the main cast.
Oh.
Bowen Yang still featuring, which boggles the mind. He really should be main cast by now. Maybe this will finally bump him up to that category for next season, but go Bowen. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Rule of Culture number 67. Bowen Yang must win any Emmy he's nominated for. It's a new rule of culture.
It's a good rule. That's a good rule. Let's not break it.
Okay, what's next? Outstanding supporting actress in a comedy. Who do we got?
We have Adi Bryant from SNL, Hannah Einbinder from Hacks. I don't know if I said her name wrong. Sorry, Hannah.
Hannah Einbinder, yeah.
Einbinder, okay. Kate McKinnon from SNL, Rosie Perez, the flight attendant, Cicely Strong, SNL, Juno Temple, Ted Lasso, Hannah Waddingham, Ted Lasso. I know who I'm going with for this.
Who do you got?
The woman, Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso. She was so good.
Yeah, she was. The team owner, right?
Yeah, the team owner.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. I do have a crush on Juno Temple. But I loved Hannah a lot in that show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love all the SNL and the girl from the Hacks. Who is she in Hacks?
She's the opposite of Jean Smart.
Of Jean Smart. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So
she's
that's
the other main character.
And not lead.
this, I think this is, again, a little bit of a category like strategy here, right? Like, oh, you don't want to put the two of them in the same category because they're, yeah, they'll cannibalize each other's vote. So mm-hmm, this is the smart move that you see people doing.
Maybe I have to go with her then. She's so good.
She was great. Yeah. I would also be fine with any of the SNL ladies, specifically though, too. Cecily Strong. Cecily mm-hmm Strong is just bringing it with every character, like times 200%, and
so funny,
needs to be recognized. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate she's going up against Miss Einbinder and Kate McKinnon and stacked another stacked category. This yeah is the thing, wild mm-hmm Emmys this year. These categories are stacked.
I love it.
Okay, we'll quickly run through guest actor and actress in a comedy series. So actors, we have a bunch of SNL hosts, mm-hmm, Alec Baldwin, Dave Chappelle, Daniel Kaluuya, Daniel Levy, and then Morgan Freeman from The Kominsky Method. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the SNL hosts. Which, who are you going with?
I think I'd go with Daniel Kaluuya. He was really great. And also Daniel Levy was really, really good too.
Yeah. Either the Daniels. I'm happy yeah with that.
I like Dave that Chappelle's, the when he hosted in like the 2016 hosting gig that he did, like right after the most yeah awful election of our lifetime versus yep versus this one.
Yeah, I agree. Outstanding guest actress in a comedy series. Jane Addams from Hacks. Yvette Nicole Brown, A Black Lady Sketch Show. Bernadette Peters, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Issa Rae, A Black Lady Sketch Show. Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig rounded out as SNL hosts. Who do you got, Brandy?
Honestly, anybody can win this, but like if Issa is nominated for something, I need it in Issa's hands, okay? Yeah, like yeah, I feel like she hasn't gotten what she needs to get for Insecure. So like, let her get this.
Get it. I agree with like you there. Yeah. Hell yeah. No argument there. Okay. Two more acting categories, then we'll get to the big guns, which will be fun. Outstanding supporting actor in a limited series. Thomas Brody Sangster in The Queen's Gambit. I apologize about pronunciation again. Daveed Diggs, Hamilton. Papa Isidu, I May Destroy You. Jonathan Groff, Hamilton. Evan Peters, Mayor of Easttown. And Anthony Ramos, Hamilton.
Get the Hamilton people out of here.
Hamilton even people out.
Daveed Diggs was amazing, but get the Hamilton people out of here. I think that this is between Papa, how do you say his name?
I'm not positive. Again, my apologies. I went with Papa Isidu.
Yeah, that feels right. That's who I'm going with. That was her gay best friend, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. He was amazing.
He was great. Evan Peters in Mare of Easttown, though. Ooh, did he bring it? And he brought a different flavor of Evan Peters that you've seen over and over again
in American Horror Story.
In Ryan Murphy things. He brought like, oh shit, Evan Peters has this gear? Get the fuck out.
All right.
Kind of like Evan Peters in this one, I gotta say.
Okay.
And then last acting category here, outstanding supporting actress in a limited series, Renee Elise Goldsberry in Hamilton. Catherine Hahn in WandaVision, Moses Ingram in The Queen's Gambit, Julian Nicholson in Mare of Easttown, Jean Smart in Mare of Easttown, and Philippa Sue in Hamilton. Jean Smart, baby. Give it to her. Two Emmys, one night.
I loved Catherine Hahn in WandaVision, though.
That's a... Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Jean Smart's going to win the best actor.
She's going to win. Yeah. She's got... Yeah.
Best actress. Yeah. In comedy. Catherine Hahn. Yeah. That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. Because mm-hmm then you know she'd walk up to Agatha all along. She'd walk up to the, you know what I mean? And that would just be a moment. That would be an incredible moment. Okay, the last three here, the big three categories. Which do you want to start with? Comedy, limited series, or drama?
Let's actually start with drama, because I feel like comedy and limited series are my favorites, and drama, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Okay. So, outstanding drama series. We have The Boys from Amazon. We have Bridgerton, Netflix. The Crown, also Netflix. The Handmaid's Tale, Hulu. Lovecraft Country, HBO. The Mandalorian, Disney Plus. Pose, FX. And This Is Us, the lone network stalwart, still in the conversation after all these years, from NBC.
Wow.
My quick takes are This Is Us, probably not. Bridgerton, probably not. I think that, like, if we're talking criteria language here, that feels like a lot of people's favorite show, but I don't think it's the best.
I don't think it's the best.
I don't think it's the best in anyone's category. The Boys, another, like, for me, favorite, like, really, really good, but not the best thing I've seen all year, especially for comparing season two to season one. I would rather see either in place of The Boys, Bridgerton, or This Is Us, I think For All Mankind got snubbed here. For All Mankind was an excellent, excellent show. One of the best things I've seen all year. Mm-hmm. I think better than all these shows, except for, in my opinion, The Mandalorian, which I am kind of pulling for, but also Lovecraft Country, because Sorry, Not Sorry, HBO. You're going to cancel a show and then it gets nominated for all these Emmys 3 days later. Sorry, Not Sorry. Come on.
I mean, I'm going Lovecraft Country just because it's the only show, well, besides This Is Us, that I have seen on this list, and I thought it was really, really good. So that's what I'm putting on my list.
This is a tough one, though. It's like The Crown could still win here. Mm-hmm. Handmaid's Tale could absolutely win. Just look at all the other nominations that.
Yeah, I could see any of these. I feel like Poe's winning would be huge.
That would be incredible, like game changer. And I think it was the final season as well. Mm-hmm. So that's also kind of like a take a bow moment. It just really can't be Bridgerton, quite honestly.
Yeah.
If it's Bridgerton, I get upset.
Yeah.
If it's Bridgerton, we riot.
Well, if it's Bridgerton, it's like I love to see it for Shonda Rhimes. But I don't know if it should be Bridgerton.
No, I don't think so either. All right. Outstanding comedy series. Run them through.
Yes. Oh, so we got Black-ish, Cobra, which is on ABC, Cobra Kai, which is on Netflix or on YouTube?
Netflix.
Emily in Paris. Oh God. It's on Netflix. Hacks, The Flight Attendant, The Kaminsky Method, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso. Yes. There's a lot on this list that I'm happy about. There's a lot on this list that I'm like, get the fuck out of my face.
High highs and low lows on this category.
The lowest low on this list is Emily in Paris.
Yeah, we've alluded to this. What do you like?
It is.
What is happening?
It's not good.
Like I understand why I got nominated for all the Golden Globes because the production just like flew everyone out, like all the members out to like Paris and wined and dined them, and it was like a whole like PR thing pretty much. But like these are the Emmys, guys. Yeah. What are we doing? I think this is a reason where it's like, oh shoot, we said there was going to be eight, so now we got to put eight in there. Because also like Cobra Kai, nothing against the show, I haven't seen it, full disclosure, but like a quick Google Cobra Kai Netflix, and the Netflix description is it's filed under TV dramas. So I'm calling category fraud here again. I'm sure that there's laughs in the show. I understand, you know, why hour-long shows get into the comedy series category, but come on. I think for me, it's
a show that should be on this list, Dave.
Ooh, maybe it missed the window. It just came out, right? It just season two?
No, season one.
But how long ago was season one is the thing?
I watched it during the pandemic.
I think the window, I looked it up. I think it was like June 2020 through May 2021. So you may have seen it early pandemic and it just missed the window. The other one that, in my opinion, also just missed the window is What We Do in the Shadows. Because the last two aired within the window, but not a majority of the season, which is what needs to happen, I believe. So like, yeah, there are a couple probably like cuspers that the pandemic kind of ousted just out of like, you know, the technicality. But for me, there's only three shows in the conversation. It's Hacks, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso.
Yeah, same.
Between those three, I'd be overjoyed with any of the three.
I would be like over the moon if it's Pen 15.
I know. Yeah.
It would be everything, especially because it's not nominated in any, it's the actresses didn't get nominated. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm Pen 15 is my dark horse here.
I think for that reason though, it is a dark horse. We don't see it nominated in a lot of other categories, which means it's probably a bit of a longer shot. It's Hacks or Ted Lasso, I think, between those two. And I honestly can't pick. Like, gun to my head, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But this is what makes it exciting, Brandi. Yes. This is where the intrigue lies.
I know, like, I'm watching.
We're splitting hairs, and I love it. Okay, our final category, I think, is the heaviest of all heavy hitters. For some reason, back down to five instead of eight.
Yeah.
But here we go. Outstanding limited series. I May Destroy You. Mayor of Easttown. The Queen's Gambit. The Underground Railroad. And WandaVision.
I mean, they're all great.
I haven't seen The Underground Railroad yet, but from everything I've seen, heard, read, it's just a masterpiece. Barry Jenkins.
I did read the book.
Okay.
And it's really, really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I just haven't had the time to dive into it, but everything else, I am going to watch Mayor of Easttown, even though listeners may know, like, I'm over like white women doing things, but,
white women solving crimes.
Yeah. White women solving crimes that involve other white women. I'm done with, right. But I've heard a lot of good things about Mayor of Easttown, and I feel like maybe I am going to give it a chance, but I May Destroy You, absolutely groundbreaking and amazing. The Queen's Gambit, beautiful to look at and made me want to maybe learn to play chess. And WandaVision, I don't do Marvel. I've probably finished it within a week. Like, and that's saying something, because like I don't binge a lot of shows like that. And I think I need Michaela Cole's got to win something.
Yeah.
So either she's gonna get the actress or she's gonna get this.
Right.
So that's where I'm at.
And to be fair, we are not going into the weeds of writing and directing and those categories as well, which we don't have in front of us. Michaela could very well be nominated for in writing categories along with some of these other shows and these people that we mentioned. But yeah, I think it's got to be I May Destroy You. I think Mare of Easttown is going to have some recency bias, but I kind of hope that if Kate Winslet, maybe Jean Smart, Evan Peters, if they get some acting awards there, maybe some directing awards, if they're nominated in that category. Again, no research has been done here.
None
we
at all.
We do not have everything in front of us. but yeah, I don't know. I think what I said earlier is I think should be the move. I think you give Mare of Easttown some acting awards, specifically Kate Winslet, and then I May Destroy You wins this category because it's just unlike anything I've ever seen. It was incredible. Queen's Gambit was great. That kind of had its day in the sun. That kind of had its run. Underground Railroad, again, I haven't seen, so I can't speak to it in good faith. And then WandaVision, Marvel's going to have their chance again. I think Loki is actually a better show than WandaVision. So like they'll have a chance with Loki next year. So they'll be fine. They'll be totally fine. All right.
Yeah, oh my God. Dan, we did it.
This is our first
special episode.
Our first spur of the moment. We can't wait. We must discuss this. We didn't talk about anything Criteria related, really, which is new for us, but kind of fun to switch it up a little bit.
Well, and like I feel like also like none of our Criteria shows were here, but it's also none of our Criteria shows are, I mean, except for The Challenge, which was robbed. Well,
Top Chef was on.
Top Chef was on yours. Right. Okay.
That's right. But we've had some almost shows. Get Some shows. Love. Pen 15, Ted Lasso. And Ted Lasso. If you haven't yet, Brandon and I both appeared on a true crime podcast called Shaken and Disturbed with our friends Darren Karp and John Thrasher, both of whom are on our show as well. Did a little home and home. So talked about some crime shows there, including Mare of Easttown. So yeah,
SNL.
These have been in the mix. Mm-hmm. SNL, of course, is in the mix all over the place. So yeah, this. A lot of these shows feel like they could be Criteria worthy down the line if they're not already, for sure. So, and things like Emmys, that's what could make the difference between a best and a favorite, things like that. So all things to look out for and take note of.
Yes. Well, this is amazing. I love that it started with me texting Dan being like, I needed to give some thoughts on the Emmys, and I know we're not doing a podcast. And Dan's response was, "We should just do a podcast." And it's like, "Oh my God, we can!
We can just do that.
Yes, yes, we can just do it whenever we want." I love being a grown up.
As do we all, except for the times that we don't. But with that, that's a wrap on this episode, this bonus episode of TV BFFs. Until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.